Derek Prince dropped a bombshell on Tucker Carlson's show about your smartphone. What he revealed will make you think twice about keeping your phone in your bedroom tonight.
You can't shut your iPhone off.
Oh, I know.
It's always listening. It's always pinging towers. It's always pinging Wi-Fi, building a digital breadcrumb trail of where you go and what you do.
What happens to those recordings?
Well, we've been doing a study following Google Mobile Services phone, any Android running Google Mobile Services, which is all of them, or an iPhone, and at about 3 a.m., we're seeing a spike of data leaving the phone, about 50 megabytes. That is basically that phone dialing home to the mothership, exporting all of your goings-on.
All your pillow talk is going to...
Pillow talk, whatever.
The device in your pocket, even when you think it's turned off, is actively tracking your every move. It's not just about location. It's creating a detailed map of your daily life, your habits, and your behaviors. But this is just the beginning of the story. While you're sleeping, your phone is wide awake, sending massive amounts of data about your day to tech companies. Think about it. 50 megabytes of data is equivalent to thousands of pages of text. What could possibly be in that data dump? The answer is everything about you. Think of your phone. It seems innocent enough, right? Just a helpful tool that makes life easier. But there's a darker reality we need to understand.
What is a smartphone? It's basically a highly capable personal computer in your hand.
Yeah.
That's constantly linked to a network.
Yes.
This isn't just any computer. It's the most personal device you've ever owned. It goes where you go, hears what you hear, sees what you see. And here's the technical side of how they track you.
Well, an advertising ID, it's like a 25-digit alphanumeric code that sits on your phone. And it enables to collect where you go, what you buy, who you call, and what you browse.
This advertising ID is like your digital social security number. But unlike your SSN, this one tracks every aspect of your digital life. Every app you download, every website you visit, every purchase you make. It's all tied to this unique identifier. The implications are staggering.
It's more pervasive than Marcus Wolf of the Stasi or Beria of the KGB,
yes,
of the NKVD, could ever possibly imagine.
For those who might not know, the Stasi and KGB were some of the most feared surveillance organizations in history, yet they couldn't dream of having the level of access to people's lives that our phones now provide. And here's the proof.
I've had so many people I've talked to about, they said, I was talking to my wife about needing a new mattress in our bedroom. The next day they're getting advertising for mattresses, which means the camera or the phone was listening to them in their bedroom.
This isn't science fiction. It's happening right now in our homes, our bedrooms, our most private spaces. The companies behind these devices have created a surveillance system so sophisticated and pervasive that it would make any authoritarian regime jealous. Remember this crucial point. When a service is free, you're not the customer, you're the product. Companies like Meta, formerly Facebook, didn't pay $20 billion for WhatsApp because they wanted to provide a free messaging service. They did it because of the invaluable data they could collect from billions of users. But that's not all. John McAfee, the cybersecurity legend, takes this warning even further.
People are foolish if you believe you can go onto the internet, sign on to a social media site, and expect to have privacy. That's ridiculous. How do these companies make money? Seriously, Google makes money by knowing where you are, what you're buying, who you're with, who your contacts are, who you last talked to, where you're eating your dinner. This is how everybody makes money.
Every click, every like, every search comes with a hidden cost.
And to think that you're going to get these free services, seriously, how valuable to you is Google? How often do you Google something to find out anything, you know, where the next clothing store
Everything.
Is, what's on
yeah.
the movies, you know, something to help your children with their homework. Constantly. Invaluable. What does it cost you?
Zero.
Zero. Please, nothing is free.
This clip speaks to the heart of our everyday experience. Google is invaluable, yet it costs us nothing. But McAfee reminds us that the price is our privacy, an exchange we've all unconsciously agreed to.
So to be shocked that Facebook is selling your data or allowing people to have access to it, I'm sorry, that's just foolish.
The shock isn't in the sale of data. It's in our surprise that this happens. McAfee underscores a critical point. Data is the currency, and we've been paying with it for years.
Of course they are, because how again do they make money? They have application interfaces that let them access your location, your contacts, who you're calling, what you're buying.
This isn't just about ads. It's about a system designed to exploit every piece of data we generate for profit and potentially more sinister uses. But McAfee wasn't done shocking us. He revealed something even more disturbing about an industry that most people visit every day. Something that's secretly turning our phones into spy devices without our knowledge.
Now something that you may not know is that over half of all smartphones, both iOS and Android, are infected with keystroke logging software. This is a known fact. Every pornography site in the world, you have keystroke logging software.
Think about your phone for a minute. Your passwords, bank details, private messages, everything you type goes through this device. We trust our phones completely, carrying them everywhere and using them for our most private activities. But according to McAfee, this trust might be our biggest mistake. The scary part, the way hackers get into our phones, is surprisingly simple.
How do you think they make their money? See, this is the issue. It costs millions of dollars to maintain these massive databases and have the bandwidth to disperse this pornography. And yet, you don't pay? Yes, you're paying. The instant you visit the site, if you have an Android, for example, the site runs a JavaScript which sets the download unauthorized application flag.
Here's what's really going on. These websites aren't free at all. We're paying with our security. They spend millions running their sites but never ask for a credit card. Why? Because they're making money by selling access to our phones. It's like leaving your house keys with the stranger who makes copies before giving them back. But if hackers have access to so many phones, why aren't we seeing massive attacks? The answer is chilling.
Why has this not happened to you already? Because hackers are not stupid. In order to take something, they have to download additional software. If they only take 400 or 500 people's bank accounts in one day, then the next day the white hat hackers are going to say, this is how they did it. No, they're going to wait until one day this year or next year, and 100 million people in one day are going to have your bank accounts eradicated.
These hackers aren't small-time crooks looking for quick cash. They're playing a much bigger game. Instead of stealing from a few people and getting caught, they're waiting to hit millions at once. It's like planning a massive bank heist, but instead of one bank, they're targeting everyone at the same time. And who's behind all this? The answer is crazy.
And the Russian cyber mafia and the Chinese cyber mafia are so powerful, they pay literally hundreds of millions of dollars to these pornography sites to allow them to access your smartphone so that at some point they can utilize that.
We're talking about powerful criminal groups with deep pockets. They're spending hundreds of millions just to get access to our phones. That's how valuable our information is to them. So, which phones are safe?
I can tell you what the most secure is. It's this one, the one that I carry, and it's a Samsung S7. And the reason is it is the only phone that cannot be remotely rooted or remotely jailbroken. All iPhones can be rooted. The most hackable phone in the world is the iPhone. Android is second.
This is surprising news for many iPhone users who thought their phones were super secure. But the problems don't stop with our phones.
The cloud is a place where I'm going to store data. I don't know what computer it's on or even what country it's in. I don't know who is managing it and monitoring it and controlling it. I know nothing. And I'm willing to put my valuable data there? No.
The cloud seems convenient, but think about it. We're giving our private information to people we don't know, storing it in places we can't see, protected by security we don't understand. It's like giving your diary to a stranger and hoping they'll keep it safe. But here's the scariest part. This isn't just about stealing your photos and reading your emails.
Nation states are creating weaponized software that can destroy another nation's power grid. I'd rather have nuclear bombs dropped because they're localized. If you lose a power grid for a nation, you'll be living in a cave within a year, wearing animal skins, because there is no other hope.
This goes way beyond personal security. Countries are now building digital weapons that could send us back to the Stone Age. A cyber attack on our power grid wouldn't just mean no Netflix. It would mean no food delivery, no hospitals, no modern life at all. So what can you do? Start by being careful about what websites you visit. Think twice before storing sensitive information in the cloud. And remember, when something's free, you're probably paying for it in ways you don't see. In today's world, taking care of your digital security isn't just smart, it's essential for survival.
As soon as you connect to any of those, I have your password, I have anything in between.
Oh man.
You can hack anything. Car keys, garages, gates, anything that's radio frequency, access control badges for doors and credit cards. There we go, I just read my card there, and if you want, I could show you the beginning of it.
Oh my gosh, dude.
This is Ryan Montgomery, known as the ethical hacker. He's demonstrating on camera how easily anyone can be hacked. Please pay close attention to what follows and share it with your family. There are many ways in which anyone can be hacked. I will show you a few methods that you and your family should be aware of, and of course, I will present a few solutions to help you protect yourself, so please stay tuned. Ryan is showing how hackers can trick people using fake Wi-Fi networks. They set up Wi-Fi connections that look real, like the ones you might see at a cafe or airport.
So all of these networks here, they probably appear to be legitimate, right?
Yeah.
But they're not.
These are all fake networks?
They're all powered by me. So as soon as you connect to any of those, I have your password, I have anything in between. So that's one thing, that's just Wi-Fi.
And you just, oh man. So this is how people are stealing information?
This is one of many ways.
When someone connects to one of these fake networks, the hacker can see everything they do, like the websites they visit or passwords they type in. Instead of your device talking directly to the real internet, it's actually talking to the hacker's computer, which pretends to be the internet. The hacker can then send you fake websites or steal your information without you knowing. This type of attack is called a man-in-the-middle attack, and it can happen in places where public Wi-Fi is used. So what about the Wi-Fi connections in airplanes?
They're actually, I mean, you can hack anything, but Gogo InFlight, they have a pretty good segment on their network, so you're pretty safe with Gogo. There's a chance of getting hacked, but not the same as like a Starbucks or a Here. Like, you know, your network has to be segmented into chunks.
Okay.
And Gogo segments it pretty well.
Although someone can create a fake Wi-Fi network that tricks people into connecting to it, they mentioned that they could easily make a fake Wi-Fi network with a name like Gogo InFlight, which people on an airplane might recognize and connect to, thinking it's legitimate. The attacker can create fake networks with any name they choose, including names that look like the real networks people are used to seeing. Instead of just creating one fake network, the attacker scans the area to find all the real networks around them, and once they know the names of all the nearby networks, they can create fake versions of each one. This way, when people in the area try to connect to Wi-Fi, they might unknowingly connect to the attacker's fake network, thinking it's their normal, trusted one. Once they connect, the attacker gains control of their connection and can steal information. Besides Wi-Fi, the device they're talking about can also exploit wireless devices like mice and keyboards using a technology called NRF24. Some wireless keyboards and mice are vulnerable to attacks where the hacker can remotely take control of them.
I'd highly recommend you go back to wired, even though it sounds old school. That's what you should do, because I could control your mouse and keyboard with this device and send keystrokes way faster than you can type them and take over your computer without even having to see you or it. So I could do that through the wall.
Ryan Montgomery mentions other types of wireless attacks like this one.
This is actually a really good one here. So if you're ever in a business, for example, this is a device that you would plug into USB. And then as you see, there's an Ethernet adapter here. And when this plugs in, this has a mini computer inside of it. So as soon as this thing gets plugged into a computer or to the internet, the first thing it does is try to reach back out to one of my servers. So if I put this in, you know, your closet or where your modem was at, I don't think that you would ever think this is a dangerous device.
We're constantly bombarded with spam calls, texts, and marketing emails, making it feel overwhelming. A common question people have is whether whether simply opening a text message can lead to being hacked. The answer is technically yes. It is possible in some cases. This can happen through what's known as zero-click attacks, which are especially dangerous because they don't require you to click on anything or interact with the message in any way. Government agencies and hackers pay large sums of money for these kinds of exploits because they allow remote access to your phone without you even realizing it.
If I open a text, could I be hacked just from opening the text?
Technically, yes. There was one going around for quite a long time called Pegasus. And then there was another one called Pegasus 2.0. It didn't require any user interaction from anyone. You would just send to a phone number. They'd have full remote access to your phone.
Even without opening the text?
Without opening anything.
Holy shit. How do you defend against something like that?
Yeah. You can't. There's no way to defend yourself. That's why they're so valuable, because there's nothing you can do.
Another thing that can be hacked is your credit card. With a simple swipe of radio frequency identification device, they can read the details from a tap-to-pay credit card. This process is so fast that the person can steal your information instantly just by brushing past you. This works best with modern credit cards that use tap-to-pay technology, which includes an RFID chip. Older cards without this feature can't be read by such devices.
There we go, I just read my card there, and if you want, I could show you the beginning of it.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, so it's that easy to steal your credit card number. This is just a proof of concept device. You know, there's devices out there that could do this from further away.
How fast could you just brush by somebody and...
Instantly, yeah, there's no delay there.
The solution? You should be using an RFID blocking wallet to protect yourself from this type of theft. If you can't afford an RFID blocking wallet, a quick fix is to wrap a layer of tinfoil around your wallet. This will stop devices from being able to read your card. Even though new credit cards have a security chip, the introduction of the RFID tap-to-pay feature has made them more vulnerable to this type of theft than older, non-tap cards. It's surprising and a bit of weird because the RFID feature was supposed to make payments more convenient but ended up introducing new security risks. Another scary thing is that your car key can be hacked easily. First, they use a frequency analyzer to find the exact frequency that the car's key fob operates on. Modern key fobs are a controlling code system for security. This means that each time you press the unlock button within range of your car, the code changes and the previous code expires. But if you press the button while out of range, for example, while you're inside your house, the codes remain valid and could be used later to unlock the car. Here's how it works.
Most cars are going to be in the 315, 433 megahertz range, but on this case I'll do the frequency analyzer so I can see exactly what that frequency is. So I'll press the lock button. I see that this is 314.999. So that tells me that most likely this is going to be a 315 key. So now I'm going to record, and as I hit unlock, 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 stop. So now I have four captures here that will work, because how these work, these use a rolling code. So every time I press this unlock button and the car is within range, that code expires. If I'm out of range of the car, then these are valid codes. So if I went back to, you know, where to my house and I pressed send and I went and transmitted like I'm doing now, if I transmitted these signals, it would unlock the car four times.
He explains how a roll jam attack can be used to steal your car by intercepting and jamming the signals from a key fob. He describes how an attacker uses a device to send static on the key's frequency, blocking the signal from reaching the car while simultaneously capturing it.
So you would get another device like the device I showed you with a big antenna.
Yeah.
I'd get that device, I would jam, so I'd send a bunch of scattered frequencies on 315 megahertz, because I know that's what this key is. I'd send a bunch of static on 315, and then while I'm standing at the store or wherever the person I want to steal something from their car is, I would be listening on 315. So now I'm closer to you listening, and then the jammer is closer to your car. So your car is not going to receive the signal because of the static, but I'm going to receive the signal clear as day from this device. So now my combinations are valid. So when I go to open your car later, mine will work.
That device can do a lot more than just radio-related tasks. It operates on sub-gigahertz frequencies, and by using bigger antennas, it can work over longer distances. It also has infrared capabilities, meaning it can control things like TVs, projectors, and other devices that use infrared signals. The device has GPIO, which allows it to connect and control external devices, making it act as a controller for various systems. It also has a feature called iButton, a type of authentication that uses small metal prongs like a key. Additionally, it includes a bad USB, which imitates a keyboard and can type thousands of words per minute for quickly inputting data. Besides hacking-related uses, the device can also generate two-factor authentication codes without needing an internet connection, making it useful for security purposes. You thought that was all? What about all the electronics manufactured in China? Ryan mentions a vacuum mop he purchased, which connects to a Chinese cloud server to send and receive information.
Do you think we need to worry about what they're putting in our electronics?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you one example. I bought this awesome all-in-one vacuum mop called Tinico, and it completely connects to a Chinese server to transmit and receive information. I can control that with my computer through a Chinese cloud server. There's no reason that that vacuum and mop should connect to a Chinese cloud.
Everyday devices like a vacuum mop that connect to the internet can pose security risks. Even though it's just a household appliance, its Wi-Fi connection opens up the possibility for someone to remotely control it. If it connects to an external server like one in China, there's a chance that the device could be used to compromise your home network. The concern is that any device with Wi-Fi, whether it's a vacuum, washing machine, or refrigerator, can become vulnerable. Not all of them are constantly communicating with external servers, but once they are connected, they can create a potential security risk. This is because these devices are often connected to the internet even when they don't really need to be, making them a possible target for hacking or unauthorized control. One of the reasons they do that is data, which is incredibly valuable today because it helps companies make money, especially through advertising. When you search for something online, like on Google, companies can track what you're looking for and use that information to show you ads related to your interests. This makes it easier for businesses to target you with products or services you're more likely to buy, which means more money for them. It's not just about what you actively search for, though. If a company has deeper access to your network or personal information, they can see what you're doing even when you're not searching for something directly. For example, if you're chatting with someone about a product or interest, that data can also be collected and used to show you ads later. This information is valuable because it helps advertisers understand what you're interested in before you even start looking for it on Google. In simple terms, companies want as much data as possible because it helps them figure out what you want, allowing them to sell things to you more effectively. Now that you know all of this, here's what you need to do to protect yourself from hackers. First, use a password manager.
I would recommend using a password manager for anything that you're storing your passwords with.
The number one ranked password manager recommended by Ryan is 1Password. This is the one I already use, so I will leave a link in the description below.
1Password.
1Password.
Yeah.
Is that the only one that's worth a damn?
I don't want to speak on ones that I don't know.
All right, we're gonna have to make some changes.
And second, install antivirus software or consult with an IT company that specializes in cybersecurity or reach out to a dedicated cybersecurity firm. Third,
use an RFID blocking wallet, and potentially, if you want to be extra safe, use a key fob that has an RFID shield on it.
Be cautious about the websites you visit. If your browser warns you that a site looks unsafe, it's probably unsafe. If someone tells you otherwise, make sure they're a trustworthy source. Always use common sense. If something seems too good to be true, it likely is. And one of the most important ones,
I would recommend staying up to date, you know, buying new routers when they come out. Stay up with technology when it comes to your daily devices. Make sure you have a new smartphone if you can afford one. Laptop, make sure you keep it updated. Computer, desktop, whatever computer you use, make sure you keep it on the latest update patch.
So this is why they keep putting out these software updates. It's for It's to combat this kind of stuff.
Of course.
If you don't update your software, you're leaving your device exposed to these known vulnerabilities. Once an update is released, companies often publish details about what they've fixed, including security issues. Hackers can then study these updates to understand the weaknesses in older versions of the software. By not updating, you're essentially allowing hackers to exploit those vulnerabilities, putting your device and personal information at risk. In short, keeping your software up to date is one of the easiest and most effective ways to protect yourself from cyber attacks. Hackers can get into your device in many different ways, and it's not always about clicking a suspicious link. Sometimes it's a link, but it could also be a file, a photo, or even a Word document that contains hidden malware. In some cases, hackers use a combination of different exploits, meaning they take advantage of multiple weaknesses in your device or software to gain access. Essentially, almost any type of file or interaction could be a potential way for a hacker to break in if the device isn't well protected. So think twice before clicking on anything, especially in your email inbox.